Now you can be turning to the 8th chapter of Proverbs. Now for several weeks, I guess quite a few, what's this, 14, 15 weeks, something like that. I've been on the doctrine of election. Now just to give you an idea of how long this may go, I've been on, what is it, is it number 15 or 16? I don't know, I'm not for sure. And so far, I have covered the source of election and about half of election's grand original.
Yeah.
We still have election's justice. And let me just say, concerning election's justice, election is just.
Amen.
And you remember what I mentioned last week? What every coin has in common? It has two sides. No matter what that coin is, it has two sides. Reprobation is also just.
Amen.
You see, reprobation is not, as some seem to purport, reprobation's kind of like the bad or unfortunate side effect of election. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the stepchild you keep hid in the closet. You know?
Yeah.
No, election is just. And reprobation is just.
Amen.
The truth is, God Almighty has the right to damn people.
Yes, sir. That's it, God.
He's God.
Amen.
He's the potter.
Yep.
He has the power. Now that actually there, he certainly has the ability.
Oh, yeah.
The word power sometimes in Scripture means either the right, that is the authority, or the ability. Now, God Almighty has both. He has both the ability, but the passage in Romans chapter 9 where it says, hath not the potter power, that means right, over the clay. That means he has the authority over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor. Some people don't mind that too bad, do we? We don't mind that too bad. We like that, don't we? Election's a blessed doctrine. If God reveals it to you and you know you're one of them.
Exactly.
It's a blessed doctrine. But so is the other part. And the other vessel, it says God has the power to, of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and then and another vessel unto what?
Dishonor.
Now I've heard people say, I try to say, well, that just simply means that there are just some people that just are on the negative side. No, it's explained in a verse before where it says, Jacob I loved, that's an honorable vessel made by God.
Yeah.
But Esau I hated.
Amen.
You see, God rejected Esau. So that's election's justice. But there's also election's design.
Yeah.
You know. When you begin to speak about election, there are those who say, oh, well, you talk about that doctrine where God chose some people to go to heaven, chose some people to go to hell. That's not really it. Not really it.
That's right.
God chose to save some people.
Amen.
And that happens before we go to heaven.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
You know, that happens before we go to heaven.
Amen.
A lot of people think of being saved means you get to go to heaven and miss hell. No, being saved means you have the honor and the privilege to worship Christ.
Amen.
That's what it means.
Yes,
that's what being saved is. Now, everybody wants to go to heaven,
but
very few want to follow Christ. Very few want to worship Christ. Very few want to obey Him.
Exactly.
Therein lies the difference. Well, you mean to tell me God makes some people go to hell that want to go to heaven? I ain't met one that wants to go to hell yet.
Exactly.
Huh? You know, that's nothing but a bunch of emotional trash. That's all that is.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, there are going to be some people who are going to knock and expect to enter in, and Christ will say no.
Amen.
And you know why? You, one, you're a worker of iniquity. Two, I didn't know you. I never knew you. So there is election's design. You see, God chose that we worship Christ, believe Christ, follow Christ, trust Christ. That is election's design.
Yes.
Now remember what I said. the eternal God, in the person of the Son, purposed for himself creature existence.
Yes.
He purposed for himself creature existence to engage in creature acts, that's works, deeds. Not, and I'm not here simply talking about the work God gave him to do. I'm not talking about Calvary even. That's certainly a part of it. But God purposed the creature existence and actual creature acts.
Yes, sir.
Deeds that he did just like we do. So God, the eternal God in the person of the Son, purposed for himself creature existence, creature acts, and to delight in creature fellowship.
Yes.
Creature fellowship as the God-man. You remember what I said? Christ was predestinated for much more than our salvation. That's a pretty big ego when we think God did all that just for us.
Yes, sir.
That's a pretty big ego. That God Almighty, as Earl used to say, confined himself to a virgin's womb for 9 months just for me? Right. You know why he did it, don't you? He did it to the honor and glory of God.
Amen.
You see, if Jesus Christ would have been made flesh and not saved to one of us, he still would have honored and glorified God.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
And Jesus Christ is worthy of honor and glory. He is worthy of worship and praise. He is worthy of service and obedience too. Even if he sends all of us to hell.
Amen.
He's worthy that I worship him all the days of my life. And then God say, now I'm going to put you in hell.
That's it.
He's worthy of that.
Yes, sir.
The problem is man is so self-centered. He is so egotistical. He thinks God owes him something.
Exactly.
And the only thing God owes us is wrath. That's all we're owed. That's what we're due.
Yeah.
And I like what Tim James says. He said, you're guilty enough to go to hell 10,000 times.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
And somebody said, I don't understand though. My sin is such a finite thing inside in the light of the infinity of God. That's the whole point.
Exactly.
It's not how long our sin is. It's who our sin has offended that makes it of eternal consequence.
Yes.
A temporal sin is eternally offensive to an eternal God.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
The problem's not that our sin is eternal. It's not eternal. When we were originally created, how were we created? In our daddy Adam.
Yeah.
What was said of us when we were originally created?
Yeah.
It was good. And not just good, but also what else?
Yeah.
Very good. And we forget that. We seem to think for some reason the fall's always been a fact. And it ain't.
Nope.
Sin's not always been a fact. Now sin existed before man did.
Yes, sir.
Didn't it?
Oh yeah.
Sin existed before man did. But we're not given that as a reason for excuse.
Exactly.
Because sin with us began with us.
Yes.
And we can't blame anything or anybody else for it. No, God Almighty purposed the incarnation of his Son for his own glory. That's why. Whether God saved one or God saved millions, it doesn't matter. That's not the point.
Yeah.
The problem is with religion, they think the more God saves, the greater it is. Right? But we're talking about the quality of the salvation God gives, not the quantity of it. That's what we're talking about. The salvation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a real salvation.
Yes, sir.
It's not this poor little pitiful thing where people put on a show and act like something they're not. Somebody said, well, you think you're a Christian. No, I know I'm a sinner.
Exactly.
I hope by God's grace I'm a Christian.
Exactly.
That's what I hope. I know what I am. Not as good as I should know myself. But I remember... what Ralph said when he's here, you know, and he was saying it tongue-in-cheek to begin with. You know, I thought when I was as old as I am now, I'd be pretty sanctified, you know. The older I get, I'd learn more, you know. Jay, I'd be able to, I would be able to mortify things better. You know, things that shouldn't be, I can deaden them better. I've learned my lesson. The problem is, you know, the old adage, old phrase, you learn the hard way. Sometimes we don't even learn that way.
Exactly.
Sometimes we don't learn our lesson, do we? No. We'll commit the same blessed sin over again.
You're right?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Just like our brothers and sisters before have. Why? Because we're sinners.
Exactly.
Now think about it. Christ being predestinated to be the God-man. And that's what the Scripture means when it talks about Christ being foreordained or predestinated. His deity was not predestinated. He is the eternal God Almighty. No less. His humanity being joined to His deity, that was predestinated.
Yes, sir.
So Christ being predestinated to be the God-man. His human nature had a covenant subsistence before God before its actual existence. Because of this, He was called the Son of Man in heaven before He ever became the Son of Man on earth. In other words, He was the Son of Man eternally before He was ever the Son of Man before men. And you remember, we read that verse. There's a verse in Psalms chapter 80, verse 17. Which if you read some of the commentators, they say, well, this doesn't really mean Christ was considered the Son of Man before He came into the world, because that's just a prophecy.
Yeah.
It states it in the present because it is a prophecy of the absolute surety that He would become the Son of Man one day. Well, that's partly true.
Yeah.
It was a prophecy of what He would become actually.
Yes, sir.
But He also was that by covenant transaction with the Father.
Amen.
Because remember what He said in John 6, verse 62. Does that offend you? What I've just said, does that offend you?
Yeah.
He says, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up, what? Not just to heaven. Because He did, later on, ascend up to heaven. That's where He's at now, right?
Uh-huh.
But what did He actually say?
Yeah.
What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up, what? Where He was before. You see?
That's it.
So before He actually became the Son of Man, He still was the Son of Man.
Amen.
Somebody said, I can't understand that. Doesn't matter. God didn't ask us to figure Himself out. He says, this is who I am. Believe it.
Exactly.
Bow down to it.
Yes.
And this being true, His deity being full, He was fully God. Now, granted, as I mentioned last week, He may have veiled that deity somewhat, you know, when He was here on earth. He may have veiled that deity, but He was fully God. But His deity being full, the Son of Man openly manifest on earth, yet retained that covenant presence in heaven. We read that one too, John 3, verse 13. And I can't quote that one, so let me turn around and read that one. This is His words to Nicodemus. And it's not the emphasis of Christ's words. The emphasis of Christ's words to Nicodemus was, you must be born again.
Yes, sir.
Because it doesn't matter if you academically know all this stuff about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If you're not born again, you're going to split hell wide open.
Exactly.
You will not see the kingdom of God even now, let alone in the future.
Exactly.
You know, you've got to first be born again. And someone said, but what can I do to be born again? Not a blessed thing in this world.
Amen.
You can't do anything. You can't pray enough to be born again.
No.
You can't even believe enough to be born again.
Exactly.
Hey, well, some folks believed in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
They were never born again. But rather, on the contrary, they sought to kill our Lord. Did they not?
Oh, yeah.
The devils believe and tremble, but they're never born again, are they?
Exactly.
So certainly believing cannot be the cause of being born again. According to Scripture, according to our Lord Himself, what is the cause of being born again? The Spirit. Period.
Yes,
period. But our Lord gave evidence to this covenant transaction between Himself and the Father before the foundation of the world. Now, He doesn't deal with it because that wasn't Nicodemus' need
exactly.
at that time.
Yeah.
Nicodemus' need was what? Ye must be born again.
Exactly.
But look at what he says. Verse 13 of John 3. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Now who's he talking about?
Himself.
Well, of course he's talking about himself there.
Yeah.
And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. And then look how he says, not just who's going back to heaven, though he did, right?
Yeah.
And not just the Son of Man who is, you know, Son of Man which what was where he was, you know, where he was before. Look at what, while he's talking to Nicodemus, he states it and sums it up this way, even the Son of Man which is in heaven.
Amen.
Can I explain that? Doesn't matter whether I explain it or not. It's Jesus Christ retaining that covenant presence in heaven before the Father as the very Son of Man himself.
Amen.
While, or even after, Joe, he was already on this earth, sitting there talking to one man.
Yes, sir.
And you know, that's something I knew it, but as Ralph was preaching and he made that statement, God finally opened my eyes. That one of the most vital subjects of Scripture, ye must be born again. Right? I mean, that's a vital, ye must. There was a lot of things God tells us we should do.
Yeah.
There are very few things he says we must do or must happen. Right?
Yeah.
This is more of a must happen,
yeah,
not a must do. But there are very few must things. Right? And I never thought of it. I knew it, but it just never dawned on me as it is that he told this to what?
Yeah.
One man.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And I have to agree with Ralph. People like me get upset because we're down in number today. You know what I mean? Get a little bothered about it. You know what I'm saying? Even though we got folks that I'm glad to see here, haven't seen in a while, and you still, ain't you? Pitiful group. Pitiful lot, ain't we? I'm talking about by nature, ain't we? We're pitiful. We're prone to bellyache and whine and complain rather than glorify God for whatever he does. No matter what it is. Right?
Exactly.
Now sometimes we got reason to bellyache, but only against ourselves.
Exactly.
Never against God.
Amen.
And the truth is, not even against somebody. I've said it before. We got reason to bellyache against men. No, we don't. No, we don't. You remember old what's-his-name, Shimei, don't you? Up there chunking rocks at David?
Yeah.
Throwing dust and dirt at him?
Yeah.
You know what I would have done? Jack the slide, buddy. Pow! Throw another rock, would you? You brought the wrong weapon to a gunfight.
Exactly.
Huh?
That's it.
You know what David said? One of the men said, I'll take care of him.
Yep.
I'll cut that dirty dog's neck off. Ain't that what he said?
Yeah.
I'll kill him for you, King.
Yes, sir.
I'll kill him for you, David. What did David say? Let him alone. God's bid him to do this.
Exactly.
Ain't that what David said?
That's what he said.
That's it. Yes, sir. That's hard. It's hard to live that way.
Yeah.
You know, that's easy to say. It's easy for me to talk about David saying that.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot harder for me to live that way.
Exactly.
For me to live that way. And you know, see, that's the point. We should live that way whether we get to go to heaven or not. Because God deserves that kind of honor, that kind of praise, and that kind of glory.
Yes, sir. Yes.
That he is in absolute control of everything.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the mere dust that floats, that every once in a while, occasionally, because of the right color of the light, you see that dust floating. David, he ordained each speck be exactly where it is at any given time.
Yes, sir.
And the reason I believe that is because God Almighty says, the Scripture says of God Almighty, he controls even the rolling of dice.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You know? The lot is cast into the lap.
Yes.
But the whole disposing.
Amen.
Not just the outcome of it,
amen,
but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord.
Amen.
And the closest thing we got to a lot is dice today. You see, when them people had that Urim and Thummim, and that high priest cast that Urim, and Thummim down, it wasn't a game of chance.
No.
Because God Almighty controls everything.
Yes, sir.
They knew that Urim and Thummim would come up what God Almighty said for it to come up on.
That's right.
And when those 11 stood around, or sat around, whatever it was, after the resurrection and ascension of our Lord, you remember why? How did they choose the 12th apostle?
Yeah.
They rolled dice.
That's right.
Give me 12. Huh? Didn't they? It says they cast lots.
Yeah.
The lot came up on who?
Yeah.
Matthias.
Yeah.
Now some say, well, it's supposed to be in Paul. I don't know. I don't have no idea. All I know, the lot's cast in the lap and the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. They knew that much,
yeah.
Didn't they? And that's why I told you, you want to head off to Las Vegas and think God's on your side, you go right ahead.
Yeah.
But he might give you snake eyes.
That's right.
I don't know. That's his business. You might head that way and have an accident too. Cost you about $5,000. We won't go there on tape. Psalms or Proverbs chapter 8. So I haven't even got to it yet. You see, there is far more to the chosen one than just meets the eye.
Yes, sir.
You know, there are people who think the doctrine of election, well, you can cover that in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? You know, granted it's deep, but... You know, 10 minutes, you got that. Go on to something better, something we really need to hear.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about the eternal God himself.
Exactly.
We're talking about God the Son, the chosen one, election's grand original.
Yes, sir.
Of whom the scripture itself says, if everything that was written of just what he said and did,
yeah.
Not who he is, but just what he said and did,
yeah.
The world couldn't contain the books, could it? Huh? So me preaching 13, 14, 15 messages ain't nothing but what? That's all it is, ain't it? Just hadn't even touched it. Haven't even touched it. Now it is quite clear if you've read Proverbs chapter 8. It's quite clear that Proverbs speaks of wisdom.
Yes.
Right? How do I do this without sounding too egotistical? Because I'm not here to tell you I don't have an ego. I got one. Far too big a one. But I've read what this person says and what that, and there's an argument, you know, trying to prove, is this wisdom simply the general wisdom of God? Or is this wisdom some particular person? Or is this wisdom some particular beauty of the wisdom of God?
Yeah.
And the truth is, if it's God's wisdom, it is everything.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's all of it. It's not just one part of it.
Exactly.
But the truth of Scripture is, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God personified.
Amen.
He is.
And
he is made unto us, and the first thing the Spirit causes Paul to mention, he's made unto us what? The first one he meant, wisdom. Right? Even before righteousness.
Amen.
Right? How's it go? He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's in that order.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a lot of people got a righteousness, but it's not a wise righteousness.
Exactly.
Right? Huh? It's not a wise righteousness. But let me say that the wisdom spoken of in Proverbs 8 is a person.
Yes, sir.
It is a person. And as a matter of fact, it's a divine person.
Yes.
That's not to discount that this truth in Proverbs 8 is true of God's wisdom, the wisdom of God, right? But nevertheless, it is seen, the very fact that this wisdom is a person is seen in that it is personalized. The wisdom and the understanding. Now granted, it begins by personalizing in the feminine. But oftentimes, God is personalized. One of the attributes, or I say, as I've told you before, the perfections of God.
Yeah.
I like that word better. And I like that word. The perfections of God are often given in the feminine. And I don't say this to be offensive, but it's simply the truth. But God is not feminine. God has revealed himself to us as the Father, not the Mother. Jesus Christ is not our sister. And that in the truest sense, he is our brother. He is a male, the firstling of the flock. And he must needs be, or he's not our Redeemer. Now, people can lump that or like it, either one. I really don't give a flip in the wind about that one. I really don't. I know there are people in this day and age that somehow seem to think that all of the genderizing somehow in the Scripture is offensive. You know what I say to that? I don't care. I'm serious. I don't care. If that offends you, tough luck.
Yeah.
You know? If it offends you that God Almighty revealed himself as the Father and not the Mother, then that's just tough on your part.
Exactly.
You know? Somebody said, well, you can say that because you're a man. No, I know what kind of man I am. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not only a fallen man, I'm an ungodly man.
Yeah.
I'm an unrighteous man. I have nothing in me or of me that would cause God Almighty to look at me and see me favorably. My gender has nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
Not a thing in this world to do with it. You know, Scripture's quite clear. Man is like a beast.
Yeah.
You know that? Man's like a beast. Man! I don't know about males. They're like beasts. And according to Jude, some of them are worthy to be taken out and what?
Yeah.
Destroyed.
Exactly.
You know what he says?
Yes, sir.
That's what they're worth. He doesn't say we're to do this.
No.
That's not what he says. But he does say they as natural brute beasts worthy to be taken and destroyed.
Exactly.
Right? But it says the same thing about women too. You know, it says the same thing. We all fail in Adam.
Amen.
And let me tell you, we didn't fall in Eve.
Exactly.
We fail in Adam.
Amen.
And bless God, we stand in Christ.
Yes.
We stand in Him.
Amen.
And this wisdom that is spoken of here goes far beyond what God enables us by His Spirit to understand. You know, God does by His Spirit give us some wisdom, some understanding, at least of understanding. It says, and we know that the Son of God has come, 1 John 5. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us what? An understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true. But let's just begin. Let me begin. Proverbs chapter 8. Now I will not comment on every verse. But let's begin. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at thy doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Now there is where we should rejoice.
Yeah.
You know why? Because God's wisdom would even fathom of speaking to us.
Exactly. That's it.
Think about that. I mean, there are people that actually think God owes them salvation. He doesn't even owe us a word.
Exactly. That's it.
Other than a word of wrath.
Yeah.
A word of judgment. Look at, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple. And here's a good one. Understand wisdom.
Yes.
You know what my problem is? I'm just like Peter in this one.
Yeah.
It's like walking on the water. How many times have you walked on the water and made it all the way?
Yeah.
Now, come on. Have you ever cast yourself out and said, I'm going to go. I'm going to do this thing. Every time I have, you know what happened to me? I've started to go down.
Yeah.
Every blessed time. There's never been a time when I have been strong enough in faith in me to make it all the way.
Exactly.
Now maybe you don't feel that way. Just hang in there. You will. Yeah, you will. You will. Think, oh, ye simple, understand wisdom. That's good advice.
Yeah.
But it's impossible to obtain or even attain.
Yeah.
As it ought to be. As it ought to be.
Exactly.
You see, God, even what he does for us, or I should say rather, what he does to us, does not give it to us in absolute perfection. Now, I know the old adage is, if I thought I was perfect, I would become so unbearable you couldn't stand me. But see, folks, that's not really a proper analogy. Our Lord God was perfect in this world.
Yes, sir.
And it's true, they couldn't stand him either.
Exactly.
But it wasn't because he was perfect, it was because we were sinful.
Yes.
You see. If God made me perfect, I'd be what God made me to be. But the fact is, God has not ordained that in this life we even come close to perfection. Not even come close to it. We're just given a taste of what perfection is. And that's only as we see him revealed in the book. Every time I have tasted of what I have, even by him, it's glorious. It's far beyond what I ever could dream and especially deserve. But David, it's far from perfection. Because the sin is all so ever prevalent with me. This fact is always there. When I would do good, every blessed time I choose, I will to do good, what's present with me? Every time.
Yes, sir.
Evil. Evil's present with me.
Amen.
And the very thing that I don't want, the thing I hate now, those things that I despise now, because of God's work to me, what do I still do sometimes?
Yeah.
The very thing I hate. Why is it? Now think about this. I want you to think about this. You ever thought about this? Why is it that some men have no trouble with sins?
Yeah.
When I say sins, I'm going to have to qualify this now. Put that in big question, you know, big quotes, sins. There's some people that seem to be so holy, don't they? So righteous. But the problem is, you can, through sheer act of will, whether it be because of a desire to avoid shame or embarrassment, or a desire to gain power and authority and recognition, you can temporarily put down overtly sins. You can keep yourself from getting caught.
Yeah.
But you can't change what's down in here. That's the problem. You see, a drunk can quit drinking, but he can't cease being a drunk.
Exactly. That's it.
Because once you are one, you are one.
Exactly.
You can't take it back. Once you've already done it, you've done the deed. Right?
Yes, sir.
And the truth is, just like Henry Mahan said years ago, and it stuck with me, you don't become a drunk by drinking. You drink because you're drunk.
Exactly.
Right? And that applies to every other sin that exists. You may not do the outward deed, but in here, we're still full of what? Dead men's bones. Cursing and bitterness and destruction are our way.
Yes.
And if God just took his finger off of me, just his breath, David, withheld it for a moment, I'll go out and overtly do the very thing I now wish I wouldn't do.
Exactly.
Have you ever said, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do better today?
Yeah.
You ever done that?
Yeah.
And what do you do?
Do worse.
Yeah, you do worse. Yeah. Quit saying, I'm going to do better today, because you're not.
Exactly.
You're just going to aggravate yourself.
Exactly.
No, I'm serious. I'm not playing games here.
Quit
saying, and oh, God, help me to do better today. It may be God's day to show you what you really are.
That's right.
Just like Peter, right? Peter said, oh, I'm going to do this. Christ said, no, you're not. Because
yeah.
Satan desired you, and I'm going to turn you over to him. I'm going to let him have you. Everything but your faith.
Yeah.
I pray, you're going to fall. You're going to miserably fall. You know, you're going to curse, and you're going to swear that you don't know me. And he didn't tell him this part, but he's going to do it to a little child. It calls the gal a maiden. And in the Greek, that lets generally is a person that's under a certain age, and it's generally 12. So this gal was somewhere below 12 years of age, David. And Peter, a grown fisherman, you know, cursed and swore, I don't know the so-and-so, to a little maiden.
That's right.
Let me tell you, we don't know what we'll do until God Almighty just takes his hand off us just for a moment. And then he'll let us see what we'll do.
Exactly.
Anybody see on the news here where they arrested that woman? I don't know if they charged her with kidnapping. Probably will charge her with murder. May already have. I don't know. I haven't heard it in the past couple of days. But she has allegedly, that's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah.
Be standing there covered in blood with the knives in your hand. The body laying there quivering still yet, and it's allegedly.
Yeah.
You know, when people say you're innocent till proven guilty, that's a lie.
Yeah.
That is a prospect of law.
Yeah.
You are to be considered innocent until proven guilty. The law doesn't tell you you're innocent. That's why they can lock you up and you have to come up with bail.
Yeah.
Don't you fool yourself over that.
That's right.
Don't you fool yourself over that. But let me get back to what I want. Did y'all see back with that woman? Went in, murdered the pregnant lady, cut her stomach open, took the baby out, wrapped the woman up in blankets or whatever it was, and stuffed her in the closet. And they found her the dead lady several days later. Now, they found the baby. Baby, last I heard, was in a hospital doing pretty well. But you know what? That's me.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, I'd never do that. Maybe not, unless God took his hands off of you, though. All
exactly.
You have to do is take his hand off you for a moment, and that'd be me.
Exactly.
I would do some heinous thing like that, Joe.
Exactly. That's it.
I would do that. I'm capable of that. How do I know? As in Adam, all die.
Amen.
Think about it. Adam fell not from a bad state, but from a very good one.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, like old Jim McLarty said, he didn't have other women to mess around with.
No.
There wasn't no liquor stores to drink from or rob.
Exactly.
You know? He didn't even have a job that he could embezzle from.
Nope.
Did he?
Nope.
He couldn't even steal racers from school.
Could
he? Huh? He only had one thing. Don't eat the fruit of that tree.
Yeah.
Everything else is yours.
There you go.
I mean, you don't even have to look at your wife with clothes on. Huh? Mm-hmm. What else does a man want? What God said you can't have.
That's
what he wanted. That one thing that God said you can't have. Everything else is yours.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? And now we think somehow we're going to please God.
Exactly.
After the fact,
yeah.
When we have all the liquor stores, when we have all the temptations, when we have all the sin that's already in here.
Yeah.
You see, my problem is not the stuff out there.
Exactly.
My problem's the thing down in here.
Amen.
Because my problem wasn't the thing down in here, I could be like my Lord.
Yes, sir.
I could avoid the thing out here.
Yeah.
That's exactly. The problem. See, my problem is me. And I'll give you one other thing that Jim said, and I'll reiterate it. You see, that's true. God is saving us from sin.
Yes, sir.
God is saving us from hell.
Yes, sir.
But you know what God is ultimately saving us from?
Yeah.
Himself. Him.
Yeah.
His wrath. His judgment.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's saving us from, because we deserve it in the fall of Adam. And God is saving us from himself to himself.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's love right there.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
When you consider what we are, what Christ did to save us, the eternal God the Son became a man forever. That he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, and as far as Scripture, in accord with Scripture, Mason, he shall remain that way forever.
Amen.
In a glorified human body.
Yes, sir.
Now that is love. Now when it says, for God so loved the world, he loved the world that much.
Yes, sir.
And the glory of that verse is not how many he saves, but the love that it took to save the ones he saved. That's the glory of John 3:16.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing. You could tell people God is going to save 500 billion people.
Yeah.
You could tell them that. 500 billion people. Yeah. But they would only like it if you said, well, but it'd be nice if he'd save 500 billion and one. Huh?
Exactly.
Because what God Almighty has purposed to do is never good enough for man. Never good enough. It wasn't good enough in the garden. It certainly ain't good enough now.
That's right.
Is it? But let me tell you, he purposed it nonetheless.
Yes, sir.
And it'll happen nonetheless.
Yes, sir.
Whether we like it or not. The best thing for us to do is just go ahead and bow down to it. It'd be a whole lot easier to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't it? You know that? I remember what Henry Mahan said one time. It was tough, but he was right. He said, you might as well take your wife and your children and your job and everything you've got and go ahead right now and go out there to the graveyard and bury him right now. Bury him in here.
Yeah.
Bury him in your heart and mind. Well, when God wants them, he's going to take them from you.
Yes, sir.
He's going to take it from you.
Good.
Whenever he wants. Just go ahead and get it over with now. But you know what? We can't do that. We can't. It's a good thought.
Yeah.
Right? It's a good. When I heard that, I thought, boy. Huh? That's all I got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. That's the hard part.
Exactly.
That's the hard part, is doing it. That's why you got to trust God, ain't it? That's why you got to rely on him. You see, if he don't get it done, it won't get done. It just won't. Father, encourage us by the truth of thy Son. Encourage us in his person and his work, for asking his name. Amen. That's it.